The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Each week I spend some time looking at the scriptures for the upcoming Sunday so that I can begin to formulate my sermon. Every sermon process is different. Sometimes it comes easily, and other times it takes a great deal of time and study. This past week I got a good early start and read over the scriptures right at the beginning of the week. So I have had the Beatitudes bouncing around in my head for the past 7 days. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you when people hate you. But woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full. Woe to you who are laughing. Woe to you when all speak well of you. I consulted commentaries, Googled quotes from famous theologians, and read over other sermons. Yet nothing I read could make the Beatitudes any easier to comprehend. Nothing could turn these strange and disturbing statements into something bite-sized and easy to understand. In my hours of contemplation and study, there was no aha moment. I never discovered some obscure Greek word that would suddenly make sense of this whole passage. Several times I sat down to try to put my thoughts to pen and paper, but continued to be met by my own resistance and confusion. The upside-down, mind-boggling Beatitudes remain fiercely unexplainable, untamable, and unapologetically puzzling. Perhaps that is the whole point. The great Anglican theologian C.S. Lewis was once criticized by one of his peers for not caring much for the Beatitudes. C.S. Lewis responded, "As to caring for them, if caring for here means liking or enjoying, I suppose no one cares for them. Who can like being knocked flat on his face by a sledgehammer? I can hardly imagine a more deadly spiritual condition than that of a man who can read that passage with tranquil pleasure." So if these sayings of Jesus have you shaking your head, at least you're in good company with the likes of C.S. Lewis. The Beatitudes are supposed to rock our world, to confuse us, to make us feel unsettled. The Beatitudes are particularly disturbing for those of us who find ourselves identifying more with the woes than with the blesseds, those of us who are rich and who have enough to eat. And that is the great majority of us in this church. According to the Red Cross, if you have a roof over your head and food in your refrigerator, you are already wealthier than 75% of the world's population. If you have money in a bank account, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthiest people. According to the latest statistics, this is what the world would look like if there were only 100 people in it, representing the over 7 billion people on Earth. Of those 100 people, 48 would live on less than $2 a day. 15 would be hungry, and one would be starving. 23 would have no place to live. 17 would be unable to read or write. Only 7 would have college degrees, and only 30 would have access to the internet. So just by virtue of being born in the United States, we are already among the wealthiest and most resourced people on Earth. But as you know, poverty and hunger does not just happen globally. It happens right here at home as well. In Texas, 1 in 4 children does not have enough to eat. The San Antonio Food Bank alone serves 58,000 people every week. And many of you who volunteer with Meals on Wheels know well that hunger is a real and persistent issue right here in Guadalupe County. And every week, people come to the church office looking for food or for a hotel to spend the night in. We may not always feel rich, and we may not be as rich as our neighbor, but most of us do, in fact, fall into the category of the rich and well-fed. So, given what Jesus has just said in the Beatitudes, what does this mean for us as Christians? Essentially, I think it means that those of us who are rich and well-fed have something to learn from the poor and the hungry. It means that we need to cross over the lines that divide us and spend time with those who are blessed by God. It means that we need to stand with and not apart from the poor, the hungry, the weeping, and the hated. I often quote from one of my Christian heroes, Father Greg Boyle, a Jesuit priest who works with gang members in the worst neighborhood of Los Angeles. He is someone who knows well what it means to stand with the hungry and the hated. Father Greg says this: "The strategy of Jesus is not centered in taking the right stand on issues, but rather in standing in the right place, with the outcast and those relegated to the margins. Judgment creates distance that moves us away from each other. Standing at the margins with the broken reminds us not of our own superiority, but of our own brokenness. The embrace of our own suffering helps us to land on a spiritual intimacy with ourselves and others. For if we don't welcome our own wounds, we may be tempted to despise the wounded." When we stand with the poor, with those who are forgotten or despised by the rest of respectable society, we are brought into contact with our own brokenness, our own wounds, our own spiritual poverty. And it is only from that place that we can experience the mercy and grace of Christ. who loves each of us unconditionally and endows us with dignity and grace. We find our blessedness when we humble ourselves. We find our own blessedness when we stand with those whom Jesus calls blessed, the homeless, the hungry, those who depend on food stamps and disability checks, the immigrant and the refugee, the homebound and the elderly. Next Sunday, we all have an opportunity to stand with the hungry. Next Sunday, the 24th, is Serve Sunday, and after this service, we will be going out together as a church to go visit the Christian Cupboard, a food pantry that serves the hungry right here in Seguin. We will be collecting food to donate, and we will take that donated food over there to stock and shelve it, and to learn more about how the Christian Cupboard helps the needy in our community. I hope that you will join us. Volunteering at a food pantry for a few hours may be a small step, but it's a step in the right direction, a step towards the blessedness that is promised us by Jesus. Amen.